You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin. As we begin this morning, let us begin in prayer. It's a great way to start your day, as it is also a great way to start and begin our service. So as we begin, I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath and release it. Allowing the breath to be a symbol of the movement of God, the movement of the Holy Spirit, the action and the activity of God, the breath of God, moving in and through and as your being, in and through and as your life, in and through and as the world. We come here not to forget, but to remember, to open to the deepest and the highest truths, to see them and to live them. And so, O Holy One, essence of all that is, we open this morning, this time together, recognizing wherever we are, God is. God is present. I am present. I am that. From this place of presence, we open to include and hold in our hearts all those who have been affected by tragedy around the globe and locally, whether it be the earthquakes or wars, famine, we see and know God is present and there is action by angels, visible and invisible, assisting, supporting, holding. We also this morning call in all of the students, young and adult, that have either started school again or are beginning school. Knowing the sacred ending of summer is but a beautiful beginning to fall. And so we see their year of discovery, of fun and fellowship, and of learning. We see it as blessed. We hold all of these expressions of prayer requests, including perhaps some that are on our heart this morning, in the sacred field, knowing that prayer does change our capacity. Prayer does change our consciousness. And so it is. Amen. There is a beautiful creature living in a hole you have dug. So at night I set fruit and grains in little pots of wine and milk beside your soft earthen mounds. And I often sing to you, But still, my dear, you do not come out. I have fallen in love with someone who is hiding inside of you. We should talk about this problem. Otherwise, I will never leave you alone. I love this. There's so many ways to interpret it, but one of them is to really look at these aspects of ourself that we have dug, thinking no one will ever see these. I won't even see them. And the beloved God is saying, I see them. I've fallen in love with all of you, not just certain aspects. And it's time to call them all forward. I will sing to you. I will sing to them until you've owned it all, until you're living from it all. This is the beauty of shadow work, of integrating those aspects of ourself that we have disowned in one way or another. So in integral theory, it's interesting that there's a whole module. Integral theory is several different modules. We've been focusing on the mind module. This wonderful compilation of maps and models and ways of seeing the world, right? We've played a little bit with this. We're playing a little bit more on Wednesday nights, but I have good news. This is one of like five primary models. And guess what? We're complete with this. We're moving on. The shadow does not show up on this map, but it shows up in all of the different perspectives and all of the different ways that this is pointing to. So we're actually going to be looking at a whole other way of engaging in our spiritual practice. This is also where, at Unity of Tustin, we focus on six spiritual practices, and we actually set commitments at the end of Adventure in Faith to live them in the next year, including tithing and conscious giving, including selfless service, including participating in devotion and worship, prayer and meditation, spiritual study. And this other one that we've really started to give some presence to over the last couple of years in particular, this idea and this practice of the transformation of the self, or in other words, shadow work. How many of you are familiar with shadow work? Awesome. That is, do you realize probably 30, 40 years ago, the number of hands that probably would have been, at least half were raised up, it would be a lot less. And if you were familiar with it, you would feel uncomfortable saying you were, right? Because there was such a stigma. If you were seeing a psychologist, something was wrong with you, right? Now, if you're not or you haven't seen a psychologist, it's kind of flipped, right? You kind of go, oh, well, I wonder why they, what's wrong with them that they haven't seen someone? Because we all recognize we have some opportunities to work on what's happening. And it's actually super healthy too. It's an important aspect. And we can address that need and that desire to engage in transformation of self in a variety of different ways. But the important piece is that we do engage in it. So what is shadow? What is the shadow? This is a participatory question. What is the shadow? For those of you who said you're familiar. Unconsciousness. The wounded inner child that runs your life. False self.
Reactivity.
The dark side. Oh. Something control. What? Subconscious control. Mm-hmm. The insane side? Sinning. Ah. Wait, hold on a sec. The sinning side. What does sinning mean?
Missing the mark.
Not quite getting it. I sin all the time. If that's the case, I don't get it, right? I miss the mark. I don't understand. I'm not conscious. I'm as conscious as I can be, and there's always things that I'm not conscious to until I am. What's the other one?
Separation.
Yeah. Ego, that's an interesting one. That's a rich one. We'll hold that one aside because that's actually a little bit of a different, there's aspects of it. But yeah, so there's this sense of disowned, rejected, denied parts or aspects of our psyche, our sense of me, our sense of who we are. And we go to psychotherapy to, in some cases, or eventually, acknowledge and unrepress, liberate these aspects of ourself that we have moved aside. Can you see how this would be important in spiritual work? This is a beautiful thing that the West has particularly brought to our spiritual life. It's been addressed in different ways throughout time and throughout different religious traditions and spiritual traditions, through our behaviors, through looking at what we hold in our thoughts. But really particular, it wasn't until the mid-1800s that there was this constellation of the term psychology, of really looking at the energy patterns and the sense of self and me that absolutely inform our spiritual experience, our sense of the world and how we show up, and absolutely our sense of God. So there's an aspect of metaphysics where there's a sense of there is this unmediated, when we tap into truth, when we live from the Christ, there's this unmediated divine light, and that's it. That it doesn't really go through a filter. It doesn't go through our lens or our sense of identity. Understanding is understanding is understanding. Divine love is divine love is divine love. And while that is fundamentally true at a very high level, it's also relatively interpreted based on Jim's experience, his Enneagram type, his view of the world, as much as it is of Greg's. So love, this divine idea, this divine truth of love is going to reflect out differently. There might be some pieces of it that are true and that are universal, but there's also different reflections of that. Is Greg's version and experience of love better or less or whatever from Jim's? No, it's simply different. And that's what I love about the integral model is that it helps us illuminate and it gives us some texture and depth and richness to how we are interpreting and we are living God in the world. And that shows up very clearly when we start looking at our shadow. When we start looking at these disowned parts, because they will block, they will reflect, and they will put up barriers to the unmediated experience of the divine always already. So So it's a good thing to look at. It's actually a really important thing to look at. As I was rereading this chapter, I was reminded of really, this is one of the most liberating practices you can do, because it frees up all of this stuck energy of that we're trying to push away all of these things psychologically, that if we just lean in, it frees up so much that we can actually be present to God. We can be present to the Christ, the as us, and move in the world from that consciousness. How cool is that? So let's start looking at the shadow. I recently watched Peter Pan, because I love it. And I also have kids in my life that we watch these kinds of movies. And so I was reminded of the beginning of the movie where Peter first encounters the kids. He's been lurking around. If you look at it from an adult's perspective, it's not probably the best thing that he was lurking outside windows, but he was. And there's something in particular that calls him in to engage with the family. So let's check in.
Over there, Tink. And it's Dan. Is it there?
Must be here somewhere.
Tink! Shh! Stop playing and help me find my shadow. Shadow.
It must be in here somewhere. Shadow, oh shadow. And I love how he tells Tink, stop playing. We're looking for my shadow. And who ends up finding the shadow? Tinkerbell. It's interesting. So we're looking for our shadow. So as we do that, let's look at where it comes from in the first place, how we develop these aspects of our psyche that we disown. So I'd like you to return to when you're 2 years old. You're all looking very cute and adorable and as two-year-olds. And sense into a scenario where you might be furious with your mom, with mommy, at 2 years old. Probably has something to do with not getting enough attention or food or something, right? And if mommy wasn't in the picture, then a parental unit of some kind. You're furious. But you're in a little bit of a conundrum. If you've watched kids develop, you see there's so much happening under the surface that is not conscious. We're wired first and foremost to survive, right? That's the first thing when we come in. We're like, okay, how am I going to navigate this world? How am I going to be okay? How am I going to get what I need? And so now I'm furious with mommy. You're furious with mommy. But mommy is the one who gives the love, who provides the safety, who feeds me, who clothes me. being angry with mommy threatens all of that. And my basic sense of being okay or feeling okay. And yet you're really mad. But there's something inside that goes, that's not okay. And perhaps you've had experience that says, if I get angry, the love will get pulled away. Or I won't eat the same kind of food if I get angry. Or whatever it may be. So there might be some valid reasons why you start to moderate your behavior. But instead of acknowledging I'm angry, not necessarily acting on it, but acknowledging it, we repress the fury, press the anger, and project it onto our inner experience, our inner image of you or them or another group of people even. So all of a sudden, instead of me acknowledging I'm angry, Jim looks really angry. Side note, you can tell when it's the shadow, when you are triggered, when you're reactive. You can observe, there's actually a really beautiful spiritual gift that you can begin to observe and really witness, bear witness to what is arising. And you can see signs, you know, maybe Jim is acting angry. If I'm not triggered by it, that's a sign that I'm more witnessing. I'm curious. Not combative. Or reactive. But in this case, I'm combative and I'm reactive. So Jim is angry. I've pushed outside of my sense. I can't be angry. That will disrupt my world. Or it could potentially. So I'm gonna push it outside of my sense of me onto someone else. There's anger happening somewhere in the field, so it has to be Jim. Thank you for letting me pick on you. And eventually, if we're really got a good one going, we can start to see the world this way. In Unity, one of our teachings is thoughts held in mind manifest after their kind. If you're seeing anger, if you're seeing fear, if whatever you are seeing in the world, that is you holding that lens. And so the question is, what kind of lens do you really want to hold? And there's nuances to that teaching, but for right now, that's a good one to start with. So I can't be angry, so it's others. Everyone else is going to be angry. So it's a second degree of pushing away. The final one, if it's really an active, real active one, and where it becomes a true shadow piece, is when we repress it so fully that we no longer even acknowledge that there's anger anywhere. It's so outside of our scope that the secondary emotions of being scared or sad become what we focus in on. Because everything, it's an angry world out there. So my reaction to it is that I'm going to be scared. I'm going to retreat. I'm going to be sad. Through the repression of anger, your primary or actually authentic emotion of being mad or angry is now experienced only in the form of your secondary reaction. So you can process being sad or feeling sad and depressed for as long as you want. But is that really going to ever get you to own your anger? Not until you acknowledge that it's really anger that you're working with. So these 3 degrees of separation, and oftentimes these shadow pieces have come about because there's been a wounding, and it's been something that we needed to do at the time. It was the best way that we knew how to cope at the time. And so we did. And when we start getting feedback from the rest of the world that through reactivity, through a sense of aversion or pushing away or needing to make someone else wrong, that's a good sign that it's time to look at something. We start wrestling with our shadow. We start dancing with it a little even. But there's still a conflict. They're not in harmony. We're tumbling around. But again, there's a huge difference between the reactivity and the authentic seeing. So the integral model uses this beautiful approach that actually looks at in the origin of the shadow in a little more clear sense. So there's three layers of identification. And why we look at this is it helps us confront our hidden aspects by actually making contact with them and fully experiencing them in a healthy manner. If you are new to shadow work and to integrating the sense of these disowned parts, it's really important that you do it with a professional first. Because you've had a career, you've had a lifetime of not looking at them, right? So it's really important to have a safe, loving, nurturing environment with some professional guidance to start to look at, through wisdom, love, and clarity, what has been disowned. So this first person identification, I am angry. Something you know as what's arising for yourself. This is where some of those what's present practices become really important. Because the more you can start to feel what's arising without being in resistance to it, the more you can metabolize what is actually moving through your body. You can get a highly activated spiritual metabolism. So you're not holding on to and in resistance to whatever is arising. You're actually in relationship with it. So if you're not able to acknowledge or what's arising as the primary emotion in the moment, we're going to drive it out. We're going to dissociate it. So I'm showing up on Sunday and I'm, instead of experiencing whatever I'm experiencing, all of a sudden, Jim. Jim's anxious. I'm not anxious. Jim is anxious. And I want nothing to do with anxious. So I'm going to either be repelled by him, push him away, or be reactive when I'm around him. Because I'm not anxious. Whenever you are around something or in a situation where there's a reactivity of someone else, this is a good sign that something is being offered to come up to be seen and healed. So that second person then, when we push it outside, can turn into the third person identification, this ability to see everything from a dissociated view. When the threat of something that we've pushed away for so long is so great, it requires our total rejection because we just can't deal with it. It's too overwhelming. It becomes the object that has nothing to do with me. And we push it as far away from us as possible and split it off. So the process that integral offers is actually to reverse that. So if that's the origination of the shadow, we trace back the roots. So if I'm noticing in the field, if I'm so dissociated, if we're going to use anxiety, if I'm noticing that I am craving peace, and anything that doesn't have something to do with peace, I'm avoidant of, that's an opportunity for me to start to look. Do you hear? Anxiety has nothing to do with what I'm feeling or what I'm aware of. But it starts me to understand, oh, I need to look at this. So then the next piece, if we're doing the exercise, it would be third person to describe what's happening, what's the situation. And I could be with Jim. You know, I just want peace and I want nothing to do with him, and this is the situation. So you actually start to write it out from a third person perspective. So it's as most disowned as possible. And then the next piece of the exercise is to start to be in relationship, in dialogue with it, with Jim, in you writing it out. So that eventually we move into that first person where I own, oh, this is actually, I'm anxious. What I'm seeing out there is actually something I need to embrace. I need to take responsibility for. It's where the shadow starts to get knit together with our sense of who we are. You know, in the movie, what does Wendy do? She literally sews it back onto Peter. The process of reintegration. After that, and another way to hold this energy is called transmuting your authentic emotions. So I'd like to invite you to do this exercise with me. So I invite you to take a deep breath and close your eyes if you're willing. And call forward a situation or a person or perhaps just an emotion or a thought that has been triggering to you, that has you have identified that someone else is responsible for this. So if you don't have something, raise your hand. I'll be happy to provide one for you. Okay. So taking another deep breath in and out. Notice how you're feeling as you focus on this person or this situation. How is your experience in your body, in your energy? Relax the tendency to judge or to suppress or react in any way. Simply allow what is arising to arise and embrace it with awareness. Welcome, welcome. If your emotion or your thought is about someone or something else, or there's some kind of an image that you're holding, I invite you to actually soften or relax. Your relationship with that, your concept or your construct of what that object means. Simply start to notice what is arising within you, not what is happening to you. Relax into the full response ability, your ability to respond to your emotional patterns and energies. Feel what's arising in the context of the person or the situation, or perhaps just in your consciousness. And breathe. Allow the breath to be a symbol of energy. Literally, even seeing it breathe, the breath move through the emotion, through the person, through the situation, so that there's a sense of flow. You may notice there's actually a constructive way that things are beginning to move, not a destructive. There's a positive energy. And if you can't feel that, just lean into that as an option, as a potential. Continue to breathe and notice if there are any changes as you continue to sit with and allow the energy to be channeled and circulated. You may even begin to notice the transitory nature of the emotion. If it is beginning to be released, let it go. You do not need to hold on to it. Once it's acknowledged, there will be a chemical, an alchemical shift. Allow its raw energy to self-liberate, like boiling water into steam. There's a free, unobstructed, positive expression that's possible. The essence of this process is the acceptance and allowance of the emotion, which relaxes the tension and resistance surrounding it. So I invite you to take another deep breath and release it. And you can return to this practice anytime if you don't feel complete or if you have something else that arises. And when you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes. So this whole process of integrating the shadow is really a process of movement, of owning and acknowledging what is arising in the fullness. And we begin to dance with our shadow. in a really beautiful way, dance with those disowned parts of us. So it moves from what was it becomes I. It's realized to be a disowned part of I. What was I becomes mind, mine, and is witnessed by I am. And this process of transmuting emotions, the dimensions of I are witnessed by this greater sense, this divine capacity. The emotions are released and no longer identified with as separate, as outside. And we reclaim our energy and we're actually liberated. This is the liberation that we seek in meditation, but meditation alone does not shine this light of consciousness in the same way. So this week, I invite you to practice dancing with your shadow, or perhaps you'll be wrestling more with it, but whatever, practice. Be in relationship. When someone starts to really trigger you, that's a good sign. This is an opportunity to start to own a disowned part of yourself with love, joy, and of course, play. Don't listen to Peter.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.